You're also listening to Bible stories on the radio now.
Yeah, I am. I listen to the pastors actually interpreting the Bible. And they do it so good. I've never heard them interpret the Bible so well. You know, like, you just don't read the Bible with the pastors. They go through the whole thing in detail and cross-reference and amazing stuff. And their commentary as well as everything else. I'm really interested in it.
Another thing you're interested in is listening on the radio is you're listening to the Olympics. You're listening to the Canadian women's soccer team.
That's right. I like the Olympics. And I'm listening to that, and I listen to jazz too.
Classic. Tell us about your love of jazz.
My love of jazz started when I was 16, and I heard the guitar player with the missing fingers.
Django Reinhardt.
Django Reinhardt. When I heard him, that's what started my jazz thing. From him, I went to the American Armed Forces Network and listened to all their big band stuff.
Starting in 1944, was it?
Yeah, way back.
Right. That was even before bebop was...
Oh, yeah.
Or when bebop was first getting started.
That's
with people
right.
like Charlie Christian and Thelonious Monk
and
Charlie
Dizzy. Parker, and Dizzy. Dizzy. I love Dizzy.
And Miles you love.
Oh, yeah. And Dizzy.
Who are some of your favorite jazz artists?
Well, I got quite a few, but, Dexter Gordon and also Coltrane, of course. All Miles is... And also some of the... Oh, I can't think of them right now. You know, I don't know my memory for names.
Sure. Chick Corea.
Chick Corea is a favorite of mine. Mm-hmm.
Bill Evans.
Oh, Bill Evans. I've seen them live. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're phenomenal, you know, players. Mm-hmm. And also, I listen to classic in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But not jazz. I don't listen to jazz in the morning. I only listen to classical in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some fantastic players there, too. My God. And those composers, they're incredible. They're incredible.
You're 88, and you live alone. Your sons check on you every few days, and you have other people checking up on you. So this rediscovery of your religion...
No, not religion. It's
spirituality.
Yeah, it's Christ, really.
Okay, so this rediscovery or reintroduction of Christ into your life...
That's right.
I somehow in my mind want to link it to something you said yesterday when you said you're halfway towards the next world.
Yeah, that's right.
Explain what you mean by that.
Well, it seems as if that you're leaving this world, literally. You have to make in your mind that you're going to be leaving this world. And it's definite now, you see. It's because I'll be 90 in a couple of years, so I figure, well, who knows? I mean, you know, like, I'm getting close. There was a time when I never seemed to be close like that. But I'm thinking, I'll have to start thinking of what am I going to do about funeral or something like that. That's another problem. And I haven't come to that point yet, but I should. Because I wanted to try... I was wondering about being cremated and having my ashes to go with my wife, who's already... somewhat buried, and her ashes are in an urn, and I wanted to be next to hers, actually. So I would have to go through the routine of going to the crematorium and asking them if they would put my urn next to hers.
Where is her urn?
It's Mountain View. just up the road from the hall. A very nice, called Mountain View Cemetery. Very nice. Because I don't want to be buried. I said that I had claustrophobia. Not that it matters when you're dead, but to me, it matters a lot to me, the idea of being buried. I don't like it.
This feeling that you're getting closer to death, it's just an intuitive thing, or are there any other things that you use to identify how you know you're in this position?
Well, I'm getting my body's telling me that it's closing down. It's not only it's not telling me; it's actually doing it.
What's an example of that?
Well, everything about my, you know, like sexuality was completely lost 10 years ago. It's gone from me. In other words, there's no way that I can go back into that feeling of being alive again with a woman. I can't go there. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't. So that's only one part. The rest is that I've slowed down. My whole body is slowed down. I still have a mind, though. I think so. In other words, I haven't lost my marbles, I don't think. I hope. No comment. I was hoping that we'd get a comment.
Well,
a comment,
you know,
from you.
You know, Derek.
To say, I figured you were going to say, have you really lost?
You're supposed to say, can I get an amen, I think, and I would have given you an amen.
That's right.
You know, I don't think
I didn't hear it.
I don't think I would be here if I thought you were losing your marbles.
Oh, well, that's nice. It's recorded.
I have, yes. You have incontrovertible proof that I don't think you're crazy yet.
No, but I've realized that I've been lucky, very, very lucky. So I count that down to my mantra, which is, my new mantra is, Vaya con Dio.
Go with God.
And that's my, and the other part of that mantra is, thereby the grace of God go I. That's my two mantras. And I believe them very, very much.
What do you believe that the second one means? But for the grace of God go I.
Because it could have been a lot worse for me if I haven't had that grace. I could have been very sick. I could have had terrible things happen to me. By the grace of God, I missed it all.
So there's some feeling in your life that you realize that you're not calling the shots, that you're subservient to someone else who has a more intelligent plan for your own life than you do.
Yes. Well, I don't know whether he has an intelligent, but I assume that he does.
Better than what you could come up with on your own.
That's right. I don't know about that. I've often wondered about that myself, because we don't really know, you see. We speculate a lot about it, right?
But you're willing to bet money that that's the case.
Well, if I have some grace, I've got a chance. And I do believe I have some grace, because I realize that there are things in my life that have happened. If I didn't have grace, it would have been over, you know.
We look at the state of Subud with the average age in many communities being 68 years old or something like that. We see that Subud still has some beautiful venues, like in cities like this one, Vancouver or New York or Seattle or Portland. But the population is aging. Are you hopeful that Subud and the Latihan will exist in the future? What do you think about it?
Well, it depends. It depends if religion comes into it or not. In other words, I think that it by itself, it's pure. If it has anything else in it, it will lose its purity. Meaning Muslimism or even Christianity. You know, like, we have to separate those things.
Separate religion from the act of having a latte on ketchup.
Yes, somehow.
Because the religion and the dogma can poison it?
No, it could be, not poison it, but it could distract it. In other words, mixing, it could be mixing. In other words, if you believe very strongly in Muslimism...
Islam.
Islam, the Sharia, I believe.
Sharia law.
If you believe that, you might as well forget Subud. You might as well forget it.
You're a little too tied into the dogma to be able to receive. Right.
But it's very strong, actually. I mean, to me, you see, I have that definition that he was supposed to be a prophet, but he was not a Christ, you see. Mm-hmm. He never was. Mm-hmm. He never could be, mm-hmm. you see.
There's a bumper sticker that says, "My karma ran over my dogma."
You're coming out with some good ones.
Well, I'm just repeating things I've seen, that's all.
They're good, they're good though. You should keep those for me.
Well, they're recorded for posterity. You know, it's a real honor to be here and to be able to discuss your life so intimately in this way. And I'm very grateful that we're friends, and I'm grateful I had a chance to talk to you.
Moi aussi, as they say in French, I believe.